Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show. I am Sheila Willis, your host and Abundance Life Coach. As always, I am excited to have you here. I am happy to have you here, and we have a guest speaker on tonight, but before we go into the show and what we're going to be discussing, I want to say that the music that you heard just before in the intro, I don't own the rights to that song. That was Happy by Pharrell. And also, today is March the 1st, 2018. It is 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, you are listening to the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show with your host, Sheila Willis. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited that you're here. I'm excited that you have taken the time out of your day, whether or not you are listening in on replay or you are actually live in the audience tonight. I am happy either way. And always want to remember and thank our global, our international listeners that tune in. I'm thinking based on where they're from that they are tuning in on replay. But however, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for everyone and to everyone. I have had a tremendous day, and I guess it kind of ties into what our topic is on tonight. We do have a guest with us tonight, Susan J. Witt, the life coach of Love Just is with us. Tonight, and we're going to be talking about the brighter side of detachment, brighter side of detachment. This is something that is kind of dear to her heart that she wants to share on tonight. And so we are going to get to that in just a moment. I do want to make just a few announcements for those of you who are tuned in for the very first time. We take about 45 minutes to an hour to discuss our topic. Then after that, we open up the line for about 20 minutes or so and give you an opportunity to call in and ask questions or comment or whatever is on your heart. It doesn't even have to be on the subject that we're discussing. It could be something else, you know. Maybe you want to share something else or ask a question from a previous episode. I do want to also make mention that all of our episodes are on demand, and you can go to my on-demand channel, which is www.blogtalkradio.com / Happy Mind, Happy Life Show. And you will see the listings of all of the episodes that we've done since we've been on the Blog Talk form. Some of you who have been following me for a little bit, you know that I was on a different radio show at one time, and then we came over to Blog Talk. I like it here because I just have the freedom to kind of go with the flow, you know, whatever is on my heart. I have the freedom to do that, so I do appreciate blogtalk.com. I do appreciate, blogtalkradio.com. I do appreciate having the opportunity to host my show here. So I want to make mention that I have a couple of things that I'm working on. One is a t-shirt, you know, that I'm working on. Actually, I'm working on two new designs. You know, I have the tea shop, and I basically feature inspirational and motivational t-shirts, you know, slogans and things like that, just to keep us inspired and uplifted and encouraged. And so I'm working on two right now. One is a tribute to Joelle Wokey, who was on our show, I think, a couple of weeks ago. One is a tribute to her, And I'm working on that, and hopefully I will have that up on my website on tomorrow. I had to change printers, and it kind of delayed me just a little bit with that, but it should be up on my website tomorrow. And then I have another T-shirt that I'm designing on behalf of the Black Panther movie. So there's going to be that design as well. So just look for those on my website, which is www.lifecoachsheilawillis.com. You can just click on the shop button or the shop link there, and you will see the new T-shirts that I've designed and a host of others. You know, I have to, quite a few T-shirts that are there. I do also have some teachings on audio and on video. I do have my ebooks. I believe I have my ebooks listed there. I have my ebooks listed on that shop page too. I don't mention enough, I guess, that I do have a couple of ebooks that I've written, and they are on Amazon.com, but they are also on my website. So I think that's all I wanted to share. Oh yeah, on the travel side, those of you who know me, listen to me, follow me, you know that I am a, by profession, I am a life coach and a transformational speaker. Mainly I do webinars and seminars, but I also have my hand in travel. So I do travel as well. Willis Happy Travel Services is my travel business. And right now I am promoting a trip to the Bahamas. So if you go to my travel site, which is on Facebook, Willis Happy Travel Services, you will see a flyer on that trip. It's actually a cruise to the Bahamas. It's in July. It's July the 27th, I believe. I don't have the flyer right in front of me, but I believe it's July the 27th, 3 days. And we're going to Nassau, Bahamas, and I forget the other places that's there. But go to my website. Go to my Facebook page, and you will see that information listed there, as well as tons and tons of other travel opportunities. We will be going to, I am sponsoring a trip as well to Egypt and Dubai in December, you know, so that's another one. There's one to Brazil in October, so quite a few. So go to my travel site. I don't make mention of the other things I do enough until someone asks me, you know, about them. So I did just want to make mention. I know once we get started with our discussion, I generally forget to make the announcement. So I just wanted to share those things with you. Also want to share with you that I will be doing a webinar. I'm hoping to get all the I's dotted and the T's crossed within the next few days. I'm going to do a webinar on money, on how to, you know, we'd like to say make friends with money, but really what it is to have a better, establish a better relationship with money, because your relationship with money, it determines how money flows in your life. And we don't often think about that, but there is a, if I can say it this way, there is a non-physical side to money, and there is a spiritual side. You know, some people may not be able to resonate with me using the word spiritual, so I will say non-physical or metaphysical for those who can better relate to those terms, and that resonates with you better. But there is a side of money that is not physical or material. And if you don't have that relationship with money, or you have self-limiting beliefs concerning money, then money doesn't flow in your life in the manner in which you desire. And you can have all of the degrees that you want. You can even have a good job and still have challenges and hindrances in your money because you don't have a good relationship with it. So anyway, look for that webinar. It should be coming out really soon. It's going to be called Money Matters. So We're going to talk about, how money matters in our life, and then we're going to talk about matters of, you know, money matters. And so it ought to be good. I think it'll be really good. I think it'll free you up, and I think it will help you to get a real flow in your life. So again, I'm glad to be here. I'm happy that Susan is going to be here with us. She has some problems with, or some challenges. I don't like to use the word problems. It just carries a negative energy. She has some challenges getting on into the studio tonight. So I'm going to give her a call in just a bit and bring her on. Hopefully, I tried to call her earlier and we were not able to connect. So I'm going to give her a call in a moment, and hopefully we'll be able to connect and get her on to share what's on her heart tonight. So today has been a tremendous day for me, but I am still excited about it. It's a day that God made, and I'm happy and I rejoice in every day that He has made. Regardless of what happens, I am able to flip it around and to see the bright side of it, or the positive side of it. I've been traveling. I got up 4 or 5 this morning after going to bed about 2, so I had about 3 hours of sleep. I got up at 5 because there were some things I needed to do before I, started that just really needed to take care of. So I got up very early to do that. And I tell you what, I'm never late when it comes to traveling, when it comes to getting to the airport on time. I always go way ahead of time, at least an hour, sometimes 2 hours ahead of time, because I just like to take my time. I don't like to rush. You know, I like to take my time. I like to sit around and, you know, walk slow through the airport and take pictures or whatever, you know, watch the planes, you know, take off or whatever, you know. I just like to take my time. So usually I'm an hour to 2 hours ahead of time. But today, you know, it just seems like things just got away from me. And the time, you know, the Uber driver was kind of late picking me up. It took us longer to get to the airport than it normally does. I finally got to the airport with just, you know, minutes to spare. And, you know, just even with the, but there was just so much favor and so much grace of the people who were handling me as far as taking my, you know, checking my luggage and that kind of thing. I got a lot of favor with some of the people, and they kind of pushed my baggage through so it would make it on the same plane that I was on. And so I want to stop and note that, because I'm happy for that, that those people stepped up and helped me. Because if they had done that, you know, I probably wouldn't have gotten my luggage, would not have arrived when I arrived. So I am happy for that. But I don't like to run through the airport, and I basically had to make a mad dash to get to so I could make the flight on time. And then when I got through, I'm TSA approved, right? But when I got to the TSA counter, I went through that part okay. But then when I put my the carry-on luggage, you know, my computer and whatnot, I went through, I had on some ankle boots, and the lady said, whoa, you know, the sound went off, the ding, ding, whatever, chime, bell. And she said, hold on a second, we're going to have to check your boots. And she said, don't worry, it's just a random check, you know, they just chose you randomly. And she, I had to wait, maybe I'm going to say a good 5-10 minutes. It seems like that to me anyway. Maybe it was shorter, but to me, it seemed like it was the longest time, because I was already running late, you know, and my plane was about to leave. So it seemed like it was the longest time for someone else to come and check my boots. And then when they finally did come and check my boots, then they had to go off and to a machine to read whatever, what, kind of like one of those little wands. I don't know exactly what you call them, but you all know what I'm saying. You know, they kind of, it's like a wand, you know, they just kind of go over your, shoes and whatever, and then they go back and get a reading from this wand. And so I'm standing there waiting for them to come back with this reading. And then she says, the young lady, I said, is there any way you can get them to hurry? You know, it's about 10:20. My plane leaves at 10:45. I don't want to miss my plane. I have to get, you know, because if I miss my plane, I'm going to miss my connection, and I need to be where I'm going at a certain time because I have a radio show to do. And finally, the person came back and said, you good, you to go. And then I go to get my laptop and my other bag, my purse from, go get that. And then I go back to get that. And I go back to get my stuff. And then they tell me, well, I see my bag is over to the side. You know, I get the laptop fine, but my purse is over to the side. And then I'm waiting for someone to come and check that. And there's this lady, she's just walking around like nobody's business. You know, she's walking slow, and there's a guy in front of me, and he's flustered because she's taken so long, and he's asked for a supervisor and whatever, and the supervisor, that, you know, takes his time to come. But to make a long story short, when she finally got to my bag, matter of fact, I asked her when she was checking the guy before me, I said, is there anyone else that's here that can come and check my bag, because my plane is about to leave soon. I said, I know they're already boarding, and my gate is all the way at the end, you know, so if it's any way possible that you can get someone to come and check my bag, or if you can call the flight, let them know that I'm coming so I don't miss this flight, so I don't miss my connection, so I can get to where I'm going in time. So I have a radio show to do tonight. And, that didn't matter to her. It seems like she got even slower when I said that I was in a hurry. But I stood there and I waited. I waited for her to finally get to me. I waited for her to go through, you know, my bag and my purse to take her time. And she finally found something that was 8 ounces instead of 3.5. ounces, and she said, this is, you can't take this. I said, honey, you can keep it. You can throw it away. You can do whatever you want with it. I don't even care. I just want to get my flight on time. So that's my, it was just that kind of day. But I thought about it because I didn't think about it right away. But I thought about it, after I got onto my flight, made my connection on time. Actually, the flight got in a little late, and so I almost missed my connection, but I thought about that when I made my connection, and as I was getting to my destination, I thought about it is a lesson even in what we're talking about tonight. So we have these life lessons all the time. So it was a long day, but it was a good day. And I'm here, so it was a good day. I'm here safely, so it was a good day. And so I'm thankful that I did get to my destination on time. I was able to get in and get into the studio to get everything set up, because I actually dropped my laptop, so I wasn't sure if it was going to be working, but everything is working fine, and I'm here. And so all's well that ends well. My book, all well that ends well. So we're thankful to be here. So we got a show for you tonight. So let's see if we can get Susan on the phone tonight. And hopefully we can. So you can hear it ringing with me, and hopefully she's going to answer. It's still ringing. I know she knows we're calling. She actually just sent me a message and told me she's waiting for me to call her. So,
your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Susan Witt.
Okay, Susan.
Is not available.
We're not sure why. Hold on a second. Let's see if we can get him. I I just sent her a message and told her that we were calling her and it's going to voicemail. Not sure what's going on and why she's not being able to connect, but let me just give you the phone number as we're waiting, trying to connect with Susan. The phone number to call in tonight is 949-534-0637. And that's 949-534-0637. And you are listening to the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show with your host, Sheila Willis. Okay, so she's trying to connect. She says she's going to work on her phone or something, and we'll check back with her in a minute. So, anywho, while we're waiting for Susan of Love Just Is, we will just continue to kind of share our heart tonight, or if you want to call in while we're waiting for Susan, if you have a question or if you have something on your heart that you want to share or that you want to talk about, well, hold on a second. Let's try to call her again. She thinks that she's ready now. So let's see. Let's see if we can get her. Technology is so much fun, right? It's so much fun. So here's ringing. Let's see if we can get her. If not, we'll have to go on and do the show without her and maybe reschedule
Hello?
Her and come back. Ah.
Hello.
Susan, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, very good. So we do have you on the line now. So
I think
Susan,
it's just crazy, crazy full moon energies.
Okay. Well, you know what I have learned over the years, Susan, and I was just sharing it with the listening audience. I don't know if you were listening in.
Yes,
I was
listening, yeah.
Yeah, my day. So I just, what I have learned is that anytime you, when I say you, I'm speaking of you in a general way. When you learn new things or new subjects, topics, whatever, there's always a lesson on it. You know what I'm saying? There's always a lesson on it. And so when I had my day today, I really didn't think about the subject tonight until I was actually in the Uber on my way to the guest house. And I began to say, man, what a day this has been. And then I thought about the topic of the discussion. And so there's always, to me, I mean, at least it happens for me. I don't know if it happens for everyone else, but anytime I'm embarking on a particular subject or a new topic or I'm learning something new or whatever, there's always a lesson on it, you know. And I look at it as God or the universe, a higher power, whatever resonates with the listening audience. It's like he's saying, did you get it? Did you get the lesson? Did you really learn the lesson? You know, it's like a test that comes after the lesson. So here
yeah.
we are, the brighter side of detachment. So I'm going to let you, introduce yourself. And I've already been chatting for a little while with the listening audience. And so I'm going to let you introduce yourself and share with us on this subject, the brighter side of detachment.
Sure. Again, this is Susan Witt with Love Just Is, and I have been extensively studying and teaching all areas of self-help concepts, and I actually have a book now that is my publishing company is telling me any day now on Amazon.
Awesome.
It's called Energy of Love, and it's an actual how-to program to self-empowerment
mm-hmm.
and self-love. And
good.
I think that it truly will change and empower millions of people. So I'm
yes.
very, very excited. It's been a long process for me, and it's finally
mm-hmm.
happening.
Yes.
But
right.
What has happened to me recently, actually in November, I have been having this like inner nudge or guidance and
mm-hmm.
with some synchronicities in my life where I've been guided to learn about and also process in my life the concept of detachment. And so I felt through synchronicities that I was continuing to be guided to learn about this and talk about it. And I was amazed when you had asked me to be on your show and we started to talk about, you know, what we were going to do. And right away, I knew this was not just a happen chance thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was leading up to the pinnacle of why I've been involved in all of this over the last 4 months. And I'm so excited to be able to share with everyone what has been going on and how I can teach this. And bear with me because this is the first time I've talked about this, but I feel that it's going to be very powerful for people. And
okay.
So I just want to start out by saying I do have to, before I get into the details of what detachment is, that I need to give a little bit of some background, some preempt to the subject so that we're all on the same page and you know where I'm coming from with this information. So just bear with me. I'm going to get to it. But what I want to say is that we all are humanity in general. You know, we're all at different emotional states of existence right now. And we have there's a big variety, you know, of we have people that are living in a fear-based reality. We have people that have moved out of that and they've done their healing work and they're trying to move up, you know, into better states of being and move into more of a love and peace and harmony. And so the I guess what I'm saying is that because we are in a world right now where we have so many different levels of emotional states, mm-hmm. that we, you know, we have the natural eternal level of us that is, you know, of love. At the eternal level, we are love. And so we naturally want to progress at that. We naturally want to move up into greater states of being. It's just, you know, nobody wants to stay living in fear or anger, you know. So when you're ready, when you're at that state and you're at that state of just letting go, you know, you're giving up and you're saying, okay, I want something better. I need to progress. I need to evolve. And so when you wake up to that, then you move into this healing process where you're getting rid of those beliefs that are keeping you in fear or in anger, frustration, and you're it's a process of healing, and this takes years to do. We can't just change overnight, and it's the biggest process of our life is when we decide mm-hmm. we're going to be self-empowered to make changes.
Right.
Okay, and so through the years of you living and trying to make these changes and healing and releasing and forgiving and all of these things, you start to arrive at a state of where you are very conscious. You're living in a conscious awareness state
mm-hmm.
that you are aware when there are negative things happening to you. Like you said in the airport, you know, it was obvious, you know, and that's, you know, something that we all go through. But mm-hmm. When you're living in a life that is fear-based, a lot of times it's so normal that you don't know anything else. But when
right.
you move up the progression of into higher states of being and higher states of consciousness, it's obvious that when something negative is popping out at you.
Right.
Because you're trying
right.
to sustain. You're trying to sustain
right.
that higher state of being.
And not only
and
that,
so,
let me interject something here,
sure.
Susan, because you were saying that, you know, that we're talking about the day that I had, and we know that people have these kind of days. But I'm going to say this, and I think you're going to understand what I'm saying, and I hope the listening audience will understand it as well. When you begin, just like you were saying, when you begin to evolve and you begin to come into these higher levels of consciousness, now I am a firm believer, and then those that follow me and know me know that I am a believer that we create our own world, both negative and positive. So whenever there is something that presents itself to me in a negative way, I don't look at it as just these are negative happenings. I look at how did I create this? And so when I was having all of the things going on and you know, with the airport experiences, because, you know, I travel 2, maybe 3 times a month. And generally when I travel, it's smooth sailing. It's always smooth sailing. And so when this occurrence happened today, I had to begin. Not only did I think about what we were going to be talking about tonight, but I also thought about, okay, then how did I create this? And then I know that I created it because even though, you know, I had to be here, you know, in my destination where I am, I had to be here because of a loved one and I needed to take care of some things for them. But the call for me to come was unexpected. So it wasn't within my plans. I had tons and tons of things going on and things that I had to take care of that had deadlines to them. But of course, I was going to come when I got the call. So, but in my inner self, my true self, I didn't want to come. Not that I didn't want to come to be with the person, but I didn't want to come today. I thought about the radio station. I thought about all of the other deadlines that I had to do today. And so that's what I was projecting into the atmosphere. That's what I was projecting into the universe, that I'm going, but I really wish it wasn't today. You see, and so by me putting out that vibration, then I attracted all of the junk and all of the delays and all of the things, because what I was really, my core self was saying, I don't want to go, you know, I don't want to go. I'm going because I know I need to go, but I don't really want to go. That's what I was really putting out in the universe. So the universe was trying to help me miss my flight. You see what I'm saying? And so
right.
It was trying to help me miss my flight. So I had to say, wait, okay, I checked. You know, I got to get here, though, you know. So I just wanted to add that, because I just believe that we create our own circumstances. And no matter what circumstance we're going through, we have somehow created it, because our lives simply are mirroring our thoughts and our words and our desires. They really are. So go right ahead. Just wanted to interject.
Well, and I just want to add to that a little bit too, because mm-hmm. when we start to truly clear our lives, and we've gone mm-hmm. through the healing, and we've gone through the forgiveness, and we've you know, released all of the pain, and we start being in that conscious awareness, and we have the clarity, and we have the flow. We are now expansive, and we have this flow of energy. It is much quicker to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
your manifesting ability is much quicker. And,
yes,
and this was
true.
A classic example of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So, I'll just continue now then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead. So now there's a lot of people that through the years have gone through this, like myself and you,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people jumping on board, and they're just beginning, and everything is right and in perfect time for them. And I'm not saying that I'm a hot being because I'm living at a higher level than somebody else living at a lower level, that I'm better than they are.
No, we understand.
You know, everything is perfect for you at that time.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
back to this level that we are at, where I feel like I am at, and you, and a lot of people, millions of people are at this level where now they're living in conscious awareness. They want to sustain living in a higher level of love. But you're like a yo-yo. You go up and down because you've got this conscious awareness going on. And so now you're aware of, oh, when something is dropping from the love and above part of you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so
exactly.
This
yeah.
is where detachment comes in, is because in order to sustain a level of love and above, you have to learn and train yourself to detach from things.
Mm-hmm.
Or letting go is another word. But you and the key, and this is what I've come up with, and I worked hard on this definition.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how I define detachment. And granted,
okay.
detachment to me is something after you've done your healing, because you don't want to go into something where you're, feeling a lot of pain and then detach, because then you're not releasing it. So this is
right.
detachment is after the fact. So
okay.
my definition that I come up with is detachment is a process of letting go with love and compassion of that in which we cannot control.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been very strongly guided to teach detachment as a tool to stay in a conscious state of unconditional love.
Okay.
And to stay in a frequency of living without judgment, resistance, expectations, or attachments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a lot of words said in that.
Good definition. That's a good definition.
But and this is a classic example. Is right now we live in a world where I said there is all kinds of levels of emotional states of being. We are dealing with an array of different emotions out there from different people. And, you know, I love to use the example of Jesus. Jesus was a master, and he lived in a world that was more chaotic than we could possibly ever imagine.
Yeah.
But he stayed with his message of love. He stayed. And to this day, 2,000 plus years later, are still reading and learning from him, and he is just a prime example of a master of detachment. He had to detach in order to maintain his level of love and his message, and he's a prime example of how we can live in a chaotic world and be able to detach from things that we can't control or influence.
Right.
And so I guess you need to ask yourself, moving forward with, what is it you need to detach from? Well, there's a couple things that are real obvious to me, like media and politics. Most people cannot control those things. And we can get caught up in it. We can get caught up in it, and it can take us, into feeling like it's helplessness.
Right.
There's nothing you can do about this.
But
you do have to realize that there comes a time when if this is controlling you, if it's every day you're letting the media or politics take you down, every day it's taking you down, every day it's taking you down, then you have to step back and say, wait a minute, I can't influence it, I can't control it, I have to let it go.
Right.
At some point you have to, because you're not, it's an attachment. You are attached to it. Want to say it or not, but you're attaching yourself to it. And so you have to pray about it, give it love, give it peace. That's what Jesus did. And you
so
have
what
to
I
let
hear,
it go.
What I hear you saying in that last statement, Susan, is that if anything has control over us and causes us to react in a negative way, then these are the things that we need to detach from or let go of. If they're
as
disturbing
long,
our peace
as long
or
as
our
you
happiness,
cannot control it or influence it. If it's beyond your control or influence,
right,
then you can't let it you have to detach from it.
Yes.
Or you're not going to be able to evolve in your, you know, you're not going to be able to keep progressing.
Right.
You're not going to be able to expand.
Yeah.
You're limiting yourself. You're limiting the flow.
Right.
And
then would you agree, and I hope I'm not taking you off of what you're discussing, but I just kind of had this thought, you know, I wanted to ask
sure.
if you, do you agree then that, okay, we're talking about going to these, through these levels of consciousness and we're growing, you know, we grow from day to day, you know, from level to level, we become more conscious of, actually it's ourselves, you know, we're becoming more conscious of ourselves. So would you say then that these things that show up, or we realize that they have a negative effect on us, that they are showing up because we are going to these different levels. And in order for us to get to this level, this is the thing that we need to deal with.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. If it keeps showing up, then you may even have to go back, not detach, but actually go back and heal. Find some
mm-hmm.
healing, find some relief.
Okay.
Because
okay.
if you keep detaching and it keeps coming back, then now you're just stuffing it away. There's some resolve. You got to find resolution.
It's unresolved.
It's not resolved. There's something inside that you need to heal or learn, or you have to go back, because be able to detach from something if you are not attached to it, right?
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Makes perfect sense, right? If you're not attached, you should be able to detach. I like that. That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So ultimately, and you know, I want to say that I don't think that we all ever really arrive, because at the eternal level, at the soul level, there's always growth. Always growth. But I would have to say that if you wanted to define the ultimate, like, alignment with God, is unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, when you are at that level, that means that you would have no judgments and no attachments,
mm-hmm.
no expectations or resistance. I mean, you are totally in the flow with unconditional love. And so... and it's nice to always kind of keep those four things in mind, because during your conscious awareness state, and if you're living in a conscious awareness state and you're always trying to move up and progress, you always have to ask yourself, well, am I judging that? Am I attached to that in a negative way? Because it's good to have attachments that are love or above.
Right.
We're not attached to those things. Or, you know, is there an expectation that I have out there that's causing negativity? Or what am I resisting? You know, I always have those four things that always need to come up. And if you find that they keep coming up, if you keep resisting any of those four things, then there's a deeper issue.
Right.
And
I agree.
It's always a work in progress. Always a work in progress.
Yeah, we are works in progress, aren't we? That is for sure. You know, it makes me think about Shrek, and I think everybody's probably seen Shrek, the first one. I don't know about the other ones, but the very first one, when he is talking about the donkey, and the donkey is talking to him about his feelings and his emotions, and he begins to say, well, ogres are like onions. We have all these layers, you know. And, you know, I think about that because that's people. People have all these layers. And we can peel back one layer and we think we are healed and we think everything is good. But then we find that there's another layer. And that's just what you're talking about. As we begin to go higher, as we begin to progress, as we begin to come into these places of higher consciousness, or higher self-awareness, because this is actually when it begins to happen, you become more aware of yourself. And so then you discover, oh, well, wow, I thought that was an issue that I had been healed from, but obviously it's not. I mean, listen, I tell you what, you know, the more I work on myself and the higher levels that I accomplish, the more I'm finding out that there were some things that I thought were done with, but there's another level to deal with it. You know what I'm saying?
And oh, so, absolutely.
Yeah. So layers, just like Shrek, I need to make a t-shirt or something about that. You know, people have layers, because we do. We have layers like onions. You know, you can just keep peeling back like you're just not, okay, I'm healed and I'm ready and I'm perfect and I'm no. You just got to keep peeling back those layers, keep peeling back those layers. So that's Susan.
This just came to me too, is like, mm-hmm. Know that layer is done and it's not going to come back when you can detach from it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, yes.
When you can
exactly.
Finally let it go, then you know that you are done with it.
Yeah, yeah. And if it show up again, you're not. You're not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And detachment, I think, is also so much a part of life in general, because I read for the first time, and this may be a little story that many people have heard, but I didn't, but in my learning and reading on detachment, and I was reading this, it's just a story, but it's not true, obviously, but a monkey puts his hand in a jar to grab some nuts to eat, right? But he can't. While he's holding the nuts in the jar, he can't get his hand out of the jar.
Right.
Only way he's going to be able to eat those nuts is he's got to let go.
Mm-hmm. Or get his hand out the jar.
But if his fist, if he's making a fist, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and I love that. I love that when I read it, because it shows that life truly is a paradox, because in order to get where we want to go, we have to let go. We have to detach.
Yeah, it's so very true. And there's so much to that and to the letting go. I want to just stress something here just a little bit before you go any further, because this is something that I think about when we talk about letting go. I wanted, you know, and I'm really talking to the women right now, and men, you know, you may be able to relate to this, but it seems to me it's something, it's an issue or challenge that is more with women. So we talk about being in these relationships. Let's just say that we're in these some women are in really horrible relationships where they're not being treated well. They may be physically abused, they may be emotionally abused, but they're suffering some type of abuse in relationships. And then so when we talk about being able to let go, they need to understand that you don't need to have anyone in your life that is harming you, that is bringing some type of harm to you, or whether it be on a physical level, emotional level, or whatever, that you do have to find that strength to detach from that, you know. And I'm saying that because I think about a lot of times how people talk about, well, you know, the love, because we're talking about moving on that scale, moving up the scale of love, and how Jesus had love unconditional. But you don't have to stay in a relationship to love unconditionally. This is what the point that I want to stress, because I know a lot of women who are in some very bad situations, but they feel like because I'm in love with this person, or because I'm trying to love them out of this, then I'm here, you know, I'm going to stay here because, you know, I've given my vow or whatever, and I just want to love this person unconditionally. There is a time when the letting go is releasing a person from your life. You know, there mm-hmm. comes a time to do that. And I'm going to say this, and I don't mean no harm to my Christian listeners and ministers and whoever is listening in, but that is one thing that that hurts me about the Christian church. I'm speaking in general. I'm not speaking of every church, every pastor, every minister, or every teaching. But there is a teaching in the church that when a woman is in a abusive relationship, whether you know wives are in these abusive relationships, they're told to stay. So because they're loving unconditionally, they're told to stay, to love a person through this. But no, I just don't believe that Jesus was a person of unconditional love. Yes, he was. And he taught us to turn the other cheek and all of that. But I do not believe that we're to stay in abusive relationships for the sake of unconditional love. I don't believe it. I don't think Jesus was here with us, he would teach that. I believe he would tell you to get yourself in a place of safety, you know, and let that person get some help, and maybe you can come back at a later time or whatever. But I do not believe that you should stay in harm's way because of unconditional love. I think you need to get yourself and get your children to safety. Susan, I had to say that because that was on my heart. Because when we start talking about unconditional love, sometimes people stay in situations because they feel like, well, I'm loving you. You know what I'm saying? I'm turning the other cheek. No, get yourself out of those situations, please, ladies. And men, if you're in a, because I know a few abused men, if you're in a situation where your wife is abusing you emotionally, physically, get yourself out of that situation. You don't have to stay in a situation because you're trying to love this person unconditionally. So, I want to add
to that though too, is that my book Energy of Love and mm-hmm. before this detachment thing hit me in November, you know, since 2014 when I finally put everything that I had learned together, and it all boils down to self-love. I mean, our Creator created us. We could love ourselves. I mean, I believe that if we did not love ourselves, then we deny our Creator.
First
and foremost, you have to love yourself. And once mm-hmm. you do, once you have come upon that, and that's all part of your soul evolution. It's all part of what we're talking about here is waking up to love. You know, it's first loving yourself. And I've heard you say it many times. It's put the oxygen mask on first, mm-hmm. you know, and then but when you have self-love, the first thing you want to do is you want to help other people in some way, shape or form.
Right.
It's natural to want to help other people because you are mm-hmm. You are filled. Your cup is full, and now it's time to share and help. And you know, it's unconditional love for yourself first.
I agree. Yes, yes, yes. I agree wholeheartedly. You gotta love yourself unconditionally, and you have to fill up your cistern. You can't give water out of an empty cistern. And if you're not loving yourself, how do you really love someone else if you don't really love yourself? I just don't think that's possible. So I agree with you. It's loving yourself first. Let me just pause just for a moment to say that you're listening to the Happy Mind, Happy Life show with your host, Sheila Willis. And tonight we are talking about the brightest side of detachment with Susan J. Witt, a life coach of Love Just Is. All righty. Go ahead, Susan.
Okay, now I wanted to talk about something, it's deep, something mm-hmm. that I think a lot of us go through in our lives, and it's prevalent to many people, and when you're living in this higher states of consciousness, and it's the most to me, it's truly the most difficult thing to do is detach from the negativity or stuff that you cannot control that is related to your family or your adult children.
Mm. Wow.
And this is something you have to do because you are not responsible. And as a parent, especially, you feel totally responsible for your children's happiness.
Sure.
You want
sure.
them to be happy more than anything. But yeah. I'm here to tell you that's an attachment. Sorry.
I agree.
It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
it
I
hurts.
Agree.
But it's an attachment. You are not going to evolve or expand if you are attached to the negativity or you cannot influence in any way a family member or your adult children. I mean, you have to give them love. You have to be the example. You love them. You guide them the best you can, but it's their responsibility to be happy, to find their way. And what they're going through, you may not agree, but again, that's expectations.
Right.
And you're resisting it, and it's all of those four things that we need to detach from. I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
You're not going to expand. You're going to stop your flow right there. You know,
yeah.
and it's hard. I can't.
It's
you know,
a tough one. It's a tough
it
one, but it's a very necessary. I agree. It's necessary. It's a challenge, but it's necessary to do. Yeah, it is. I have five adult children, you know,
yes.
and this is my thought on it, Susan, when it comes to people always asking me, you know, well, what did you do, you know, and how did you do that? How did you raise your children in to come out the way they did? Well, first of all, I always tell them consistency is the key. That's the key to in my opinion. Raising children is the key is consistency. But this is my thought on what you just said, because you talked about we're wanting our children to be happy and we, you know, want the best for them. And we do all of that. But I believe that we go through stages of detachment when it comes to our children or letting go. And I believe the first stage is when we put them either in day school, daycare or preschool or kindergarten, whichever one that the child does first, there's a part of letting go because now they have been with you, but then now you're releasing them into the world, you know. So that's the first thing. Okay, I've had this child all these years, but now I got to trust somebody else to keep my baby. And so that's the first stage. And then the next time is that when they graduate from the elementary school. I know they don't call it elementary school anymore. I'm really dating myself. But when they go from elementary school to the next level of school, we used to have junior high. I know they don't have that anymore. But whatever the stages are, there is a letting go at each stage. They go from the junior high to high school. That's another stage of letting go. They go from high school to college. That's another stage of letting go. And if we have been successful in letting go at each stage, when they become adults, we're not tripping. The reason why so many parents are tripping when our children become adults and, oh, my God, you know, all the kids are out of the house and, oh, my God, because they didn't go through the process of letting go. They didn't go through the process of detaching. You don't just detach from your child in one quick, I'm done kind of thing. It's a stage. It's a process. It's a process like anything else. It's a process. Let me tell you, when my firstborn, when she first went to kindergarten, I stood at the gate and I think I cried for maybe 30, 45 minutes. I had to say to myself, Sheila, you have to leave because the girl's going to come out for recess or lunch and she's going to see you still standing here crying. Because I felt like that was my firstborn, first of all, and then the first time she had left me, I was letting her go into the world, you know, like the world had her. That's exactly how I felt. But as she began to progress through the stages of school, I learned to let go more and more and more. When she became an adult, I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like that with every child. But I'll tell you with the last one, there's a difference with that last one than there is with the first one, because you learn to detach with each child. When my baby son came along, now he's 25 now, but when he came along and it was time for him to go to kindergarten and they were saying that they were going to make kindergarten a whole day instead of a half day, I was saying, thank you, Jesus. And when they told me that maybe they weren't going to let him go, I said, all of you ladies, mothers that's in here voting for half a day, y'all need to all sit down and be quiet and let these children go to school a whole day. You see the transition? You know, because there's a process of letting go at each stage. I'm talking to you mothers out there. I'm talking to you young mothers. I have raised 5 children. Youngest is 25, and I better not tell the oldest age because she's listening. She may get me. But at any rate, there is a process of letting go. And if you let go at every stage, at that process, not going to be so hard when they get to become adults and want to go across the country to go to college. You're not freaking out because you've let them go. You've let go, and you know they're going to be okay. You know you can put them in God's hands. And so that's how I did with my children. I'm cool. You know, I love them. I don't worry about them. I don't worry about them because I know I did everything that I needed to do to train them up in the way that they should go. I know that God's got them. I want them all to be happy. I pray for them daily, but I do not worry about my children. I saw a flyer or whatever it was, a video maybe, and we're talking about every mother, even with her children, or not worry about her children. I said, not this mother. I don't worry about my children. You know, because I know that I have put the very best, I've did the very best possible job that I could do. And now they're adults and God's got them, you know. And that's how we have to get to the place, I believe. That's my opinion. That's how we have to come to that place that you did the very best job, even if we made mistakes, because when there's not one perfect parent, I made mistakes. They're making mistakes with their children. Everybody makes mistakes. But if you've done the very best that you do, that's all you can do. And even if you didn't do the best that you could do, you still have, that's it. What are you going to do, visit the past and change something? Of course not. So let them children go. Let them live. You know, let them make their own mistakes, because everybody's entitled to live their own happy. That's kind of the way I look at it. But go right ahead, Susan.
Oh, no, I love all that, because I have 2 children. I don't have 5. But I love to hear that, because, you know, my guidance and my teaching at that level, you know, I don't have a lot of experience. And I know people that are going through it. And
me too.
That have this, you know, they feel responsible. You know, they feel responsible, and they're going to do everything they can to try to make.
We're responsible for them when they are children. When they become adults, we're no longer responsible for them. This is what I did with every last one of my children. When they became 18, because that's the quote unquote legal age of adult. You know, but even though I don't believe when you're 18, but anyway, that's a whole other subject. But when they became legally adults, I took that child, not physically, but I took that child spiritually back to God. I said, thank you for the 18 years that you've entrusted me with this child. Here you go. The responsibility is yours. And that's where I left them. That God's got them. Those are his children now. He'll oversee them. I did my 18 years. You know, you get what I'm saying? I was responsible for them for those 18 years. God's got them now. They're not mine. And maybe that's what people need. Maybe we need to do some kind of webinar, seminar, or something, or gathering where we let together and go through this process of releasing.
You know, I know. I agree, because there's just so much of that out there. You know, that I think that as a parent, it's just, it's got to be one of the most difficult things. And I know that the people that are in my life going through this, and, you know, it's hard to sit there and say, well, you need to let it go. Well, your flesh and blood, how in the heck are you going to do that?
Yeah,
you know,
but it's a process, Susan. It's just like you, just like you said, everything, like our journey, our life's journey, our going higher, becoming, you know, these beings of higher consciousness. All of that is a process. It's the same thing that you said. Detachment is a process. Letting go of your children is a process. And if you miss the natural stages of letting go, you know, as I was saying about the going through the different levels of school, or even the different levels of emotional development, where they're becoming more and more independent. If we didn't allow ourselves to go through that, then we still have to go through that. You get what I mean?
Right.
We still have to go through that process.
I was just thinking the same thing, because, like, look at what we've gone through since we were 18. And how we've arrived where we are right now is because of our experiences. And we've all got stuff we go through that are bad.
Yes.
And, you know, of course we don't want our children to go through anything bad, but it's part of their evolution. It's part of their soul growth.
It really is. Because what do? We keep them too close. And then we ruin them. You know what I'm saying? They have to experience life. They have to have their own experiences. Sure, we want to be able to say, hey, don't jump off that cliff, you're going to get hurt. There are some things we do want to share out of our own experiences that they can learn from, that they don't have to do, you know what I mean? But there are some things they do need to experience for themselves. They do. They just do.
Yeah.
You know, just like
And
we
I would
did.
Love to hear, like, if, you know, when we invite callers to call in, I would love, you know, to maybe hear some interjection on that, because what people are saying and what they think about that and what they're going through.
Hold on 1 second, Susan. Callers, you can call in right now. The number to call in is 949-534-0637. Please call in and share your heart. We'd love to hear from you tonight, whether you're calling in about, you know, what you feel about what we were just talking about with letting go, where it concerns your children, or maybe a relationship, or just, you know, whatever it is that you're experiencing. Please give us a call. We'd very much love to hear from you. Again, the number is 949-534-0637. Okay, Susan.
And, you know, another aspect about all of this, too, is worry. You know, worry form of attachment, and, you know, and it is negative, and I found statistics from the, I think it's in my book, I'm trying to remember, I'm going to get it wrong if I say this, it was a university that did a statistic on the things that we worry about, if they really happen, and 85% of the things we worry about never happen.
Right,
so,
exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And I just wanted to share, like, with my daughter, last June, actually the day that I was supposed to be on your show, my daughter was in a serious car accident.
Long, hon. Last June.
June 8th, of course, I'll never forget that day. But she was hit by a semi and hurled back into the road, hit by another truck. She, you know, had several broken bones, but she did not have any internal injuries, spinal injuries, or any major brain injuries or anything. But now here we are, fast forward, and she is, you know, still not back to work full time. Trying to manage 5 hours a day. And after the first, 4 months of her healing process, it was all about her bones healing. You know, when we go to see the doctor, it was always about, they were talking about the broken bones. But some think it was sometime in November that she had an appointment, and all of a sudden they're talking about her brain injury. And I think that they were so focused on all the broken bones that nobody even, it was amazing to me because I'm like, what? Brain injury?
Wow.
they call it a traumatic brain injury, which is really just a fancy term for if you're knocked unconscious for any period of time, call it a traumatic brain injury. But anyway, right now, she doesn't take very many pain meds, and her healing is wonderful as far as the bones go, but her energy level is not back. And they say it's because of this traumatic brain injury and that sometimes it can take a year for her.
Okay.
And she has mental fatigue quite often.
Mm.
It's so hard for me to not worry about her, you know, to detach myself from this. But it's something, once again, that happens in my life every day, every day, every day. It's controlling my level of my conscious state of awareness. It's controlling me. And I can't influence it. I can't do anything about it. But what I can do is I'm a Reiki master. I give her Reiki quite often.
I
give her love and encouragement.
Yeah.
I try to be by her side every step of the way, and sometimes she thinks I'm being a mom and a too much. It's like back off, mom. But
I was
going
to say then that's where you need to kind of give her some space. You know what I mean?
So and then I you know, obviously I pray about it and. And if it's still, if I still can't detach from it, then there's an attachment there. In some way, I need to heal it. I need to, I need to go back and I need to figure it out what I can do to let go of the situation.
So I understand. That's a challenge. I mean, of course, who wouldn't be concerned about their child? Whether they were adults or not, that they were, you know, suffering some type of illness or whatever, you know what I mean? I mean, that Susan, to me is very understandable. You know, we don't want our children to hurt and suffer or not be 100% or having some kind of mental, emotional, physical, or any other kind of challenge or sickness or whatever. So I get that. You know, I get that you're feeling that way, but as you said, at the same time, you do have to at least detach yourself from it to where it's not being a hindrance to you, you know, and that's the thing, you know, you have to find that balance and caring, but not letting it be a hindrance to you or affecting you from being the person that you need to be for all of these people who are out here waiting for your gift, you know.
Yeah.
And
it's
so,
her too.
You know.
It affects, my worry affects her.
Sure,
you know,
it does.
She comes home from work early because she can't even work her 5 hours, and I'm upset. And she's like, well, Mom, I'm upset now because you're upset.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh.
Right.
You know,
got
to keep it in check. And so if I can detach from this and I can live in my, you know, higher state of being, she would be so much better off. She would be so much better off.
Yeah.
And that's another
that
thing about
your,
all of this.
Let that be your motivator then, Susan. I mean, you know, just like you just said, if you could keep yourself in that place of that positive energy, and then you're helping her. You know what I'm saying? And so you just keep reminding yourself, if I can keep myself in this highest state of energy, then I'm being a positive help to her, because you love your daughter so much. There's no way you don't want to be a positive help to her. So that would help you to stay in that place. Now, right now, I'm dealing with some challenges with my mom. And everybody that knows me knows that my mom is like, I can't even explain to you what my mom means to me, but I know that's true of most people, you know. And you know, I know someone said to me some years ago that they hoped that I would pass before my mom would pass because it would be such a tremendous blow to me. But, you know, even with the way that I feel about her, I had to go through a season of detachment. You know, I'm gonna use your word, Susan, and that's a joke between me and that's an inside joke between me and Susan. But I had to go through that's a season of detaching myself from her because she was. I'm just gonna put it the way that I got it from God. This is the way I received it in prayer. I had to go through a devastating experience with my mother because I had her in the wrong place. She was my God. You understand? She was the person that sat on the throne in my life. That's who she was to me. And I had to go through this devastating experience with her as what the Spirit said to me, so I could put her in her right place. Because she's in my place. She's your God, you know? And she's sitting on the throne of your heart. Rather me being your God and sitting on the throne of your heart, she's in my place, you know? And so I had to go through this, I mean, truly devastating. I won't even get into the details of it because I really couldn't publicly. But it was such a horrific experience that it left me shook to my very core. And it took me maybe 2-3 years to come back from that experience. But here today, I still love my mom, you know, but she's in the right place. You get what I mean? She's not my God anymore. I have her love in its proper place to where, yeah, I'm very concerned about, you know, the sickness and the illness that she's going through right now, but I'm not upset. It's not taking me over. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not worried to the place where I can't function and be the person that I need to be. Now, there are some times that it'll kind of sneak up on me, I guess is the best way I know how to say it. And I begin to think about it. And then I have to stop myself and say, no, I'm not going to meditate on those negative thoughts, because that's what worry is. Worry is meditating on the negative instead mm-hmm. of focusing on the positive. So right. If you're worrying, then we're just meditating on the negative. Oh, the doctor said this, and the doctor said that, and she doesn't have much time, you know, and this and this and that, instead of switching it over and saying, well, but the outcome could be positive, and this could happen, and that can happen, and what if she gets better, and what if they find a cure, and you know what I mean? And so, instead of focusing and meditating on the negative aspects of whatever the illness is with your daughter or with my mom, then why not we focus on the positive things? I'm here right now in Dallas because I have to. They called me to come and take her to a doctor's appointment tomorrow, but I'm not worried. You know what I mean? I came because I know I needed to be here, and I know that no matter what the outcome is of this appointment, God's got it. You know, He's got it. And so why worrying doesn't change anything. It doesn't add anything positive. It only adds the negative. So somewhere we, as I'm talking about all of us, even our listening audience, we have to come to a place where we stop meditating on the negative and shift our focus to the positive. Start thinking about what could happen if the person got better. Look up all of the things that, you know, maybe the cases that were similar, but this person had a positive outcome. Look at the things that could happen. So the person can't walk. Well, start thinking about what if they started walking. You know, and Susan, you said something earlier today. You talked about manifesting, that how when we reach these places of higher consciousness and we get to these places where we begin to manifest quickly, we'll manifest quickly, whether it's negative or positive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You're a powerful manifester. And so if you're focusing on the negative, then you're just going to manifest more of that. I mean,
thank you for reminding me because
yes,
it's very true.
Yes.
I love that. Yes.
We're powerful manifestors, you know. I manifested my day today. It was sucked, but I manifested it. You know what I'm saying? Because I was divided and, you know, I wanted to really not come today. I really wanted to not come, not because I didn't want to be here for my mom, but it just wasn't, the timing wasn't good. It just was, the timing was off. And that's what I was beating. You know what I mean? That's what I was pulsating in. That's the energy that I was vibrating up. I really wish I didn't have to go today. I wish I could just wait and maybe reschedule or do this or do that. That's what I was thinking of. And so the universe said, okay, let me help you with that. Because, you know what I mean? That's where you're vibrating, you know? And so when you're vibrating the negative, Susan, you know the deal. You, what do you tell me? You know all about the law of attraction. You know, how do you say that? I love when you say that. I can't remember the quote that you
I
used,
have a lot to say about it.
Yes, yes. So come on, you know, and we all need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. I have to remind myself sometimes. Come on, girl. My sister will say to me, girl, you know you need to watch what you say because you'll speak a thing and it'll happen. And I'll just be teasing. You know, I'll just be joking. And then I look up and bam, you know, that thing would have happened. So I'm like, oh, okay, I have to watch what I say, you know, because when we talk about manifesting, it's not just the positive things that's going to manifest. The negative things manifest too. They really do, you know. So I'm reminding you, I'm reminding myself, I'm reminding the listening audience, let's meditate on the positive and the good stuff and stop meditating on the worry. Susan, I'm going to give you about 2 minutes to wrap it up. If I know you, I know you had much more to say. And so I'm going to let you come back and let you finish, you know, expressing your heart and talking to us about the brighter side of detachment, because if I know you, you probably got 2 or 3, maybe 4 sheets of paper that you haven't even.
Actually, I don't, but.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No, but I did want to reiterate mm-hmm. that really what this all sums up and what I have learned, and it keeps going back and forth and, you know, all going through my head, is how life is truly a paradox.
Yes.
In order to expand, you need to detach. That doesn't even seem to make sense. But
makes sense. Mm-hmm.
You have to. And so, you know, I think that, you know, if you had a T-shirt and you wanted mm-hmm. to put something on it, maybe your freedom is in letting go.
Yeah, you know? I like that. And that's going to be that's for you. That's going to be my tribute to you. Your freedom is in letting go. But we got to put the word detachment in there some kind of way. Let me think about it. And I'm going to create that T-shirt in tribute to you. Because it's true. Your freedom is in letting go. I believe that with my whole heart. I really do.
And
if I
think
wasn't
that's a
so,
great mantra, you know, or a great affirmation.
Good. It's real good. It's real good.
And
your
mind is
ruminating. Yeah.
Go ahead.
If my mind wasn't so foggy right now, I could think of this scripture, and it's probably not going to come to me till we end this episode. But there's a scripture, help me, God, because I really want to, it'll fit so well right here. Oh, how does it go? If you keep, oh, goodness, I can't think of it right now. My mind is just too foggy with all that's been going on today. And I've been up, like I said, since 5, and I went to bed about 2, so part of my mind is trying to get some sleep while my eyes are still open. But if you let go, my goodness, I cannot think of this scripture, but it's something in that thought, that if you let go, if to gain is to let go, or letting go is to gain, if I wish I had the internet up, I would try to search that scripture out. But it's going to come to me. And listening audience, if you tune in next week, or I'm going to quote that scripture because it fits right here very well. To lose is to gain, or to gain something. Letting go is to, I forget, if you hold on to things that you'll lose it, but if you let go, you'll gain. Kind of very similar to what you're saying, but that's not exactly the way it goes. But Susan, I'm going to find that scripture and give it to you later on because it's so perfect to what you're saying. But I am going to create that T-shirt in tribute to you. Say it again. You probably
Your
have to
freedom
say it to
is me. In letting go.
Your freedom is in letting go. I love that. Your freedom is in letting go. Your freedom is in letting go. Okay, you have to send that to me because I'll probably forget. And I really do want to create a T-shirt. That'll be another new one. I'm doing one in tribute to Joelle, and that's It's Not a Game. She says that a lot, It's Not a Game. I'm doing that one for her, and then I'll do this one for you. Your freedom is in letting go. Your freedom is in letting go. And then I'm doing one for the Black Panther movie design for that too. So then that'll be the three new ones that I'll be doing. Okay.
Another thing about detachment is and letting go, because it can be two different things. If you're in an area or you're feeling healing in the perspective of healing, I guess is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's not detachment. But now I just lost what I was going to say about that. Oh, it's a shift. It's always a shift.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you peel that layer, like you said, or you're able to detach from something, or the freedom is in letting go, means that you have just made a shift in your life.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I agree. I like it. I like it a lot. I'm truly going to create that T-shirt. I'm going to try to get it done. So listening audience, if you want that T-shirt, you know, you got to go to my website. It will be on there. Give me maybe 2-3 days and I'll have it there. And that website is www.lifecoachsheilawillis.com. And that's going to be a T-shirt that's, matter of fact, I'm going to put your name on it, and so because it's your quote, I'll put your name on the T-shirt as well. So do be looking for that T-shirt in tribute to Susan. And so we're just about 2 minutes, have maybe about two more minutes. Susan, you want something you can say in maybe about 60 seconds to encourage the
listening audience?
Well,
can I just get a plug in for my book?
You sure can. Yes, ma'am.
If you have awakened to wanting to get out of a life of anger and fear or frustration, if you are tired and you are fed up and you need to change your life, my book, Energy of Love, is a how-to program from the ground up. And it teaches you in plain English. There's no fancy words. And it gives you the proof behind the energy of love, how it is truly healing. Science is proving that it heals us at the cellular level, and on a spiritual level, of course, love heals. So this is an all well-rounded book, daily program in it, and it's going to change your life. Every chapter is profound, and it can be life-changing.
Awesome. I can't wait to read it. I'm going to buy the first copy. Matter of fact, I'm going to send you my money today so I can have the first copy. Sorry, honey. I'm going to get the first cup. Let me wrap up, Susan, because we're running a few minutes here. But guys, go to my on-demand channel, or if you're on Facebook, go to my Facebook page, and I'll have all of Susan's information there for her book. And I just want to say thank you all for listening tonight. You've been listening to the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show with your host, Sheila Willis. And we will see you next week. Until the next time, keep living your happy.